Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during September. You won't need a telescope or fancy equipment. Just find a clear view of the sky and bring your curiosity. September evenings can get cool, so before heading out, grab a light sweater or jacket, then settle onto a blanket, a folding chair, or a reclining lounger, and lean back to take in the beauty of the star-spangled sky overhead. Seasonally speaking, September is a time of transition. Sunset comes earlier and earlier, by 7:30 most everywhere. And when it does, around mid-month, you'll see the first quarter moon hanging low in the southern half of the sky. How low is low? Let's find out. Stretch out your arm and clench your fist. You can see that the moon is no more than the width of two or three fists above the horizon. Yet 6 months from now, the moon will arc nearly overhead at night. Why is that? The path followed by the sun and planets in the sky, an imaginary line called the ecliptic, starts where the sun sets and moves leftward across the sky. It turns out that during autumn for us northerners, Earth is tipped in space in such a way that the ecliptic traces a shallow path in the sky, staying relatively close to the horizon. And early this month, the moon happens to be positioned a couple of degrees below the ecliptic. That's why it's lurking so low in the south. In fact, if you have even modest trees or buildings in the way, the moon can be up in the sky, but hidden from your view. By the way, this month's full moon, called the harvest moon, falls on September 23rd. Before twilight gets too deep, find yourself a perch with a clear view toward the sunset point. Look four fists to the left of where the sun sets, very low in the southwest, for a very obvious star. That's no star, but Venus, which is just wrapping up a terrific evening run that's lasted 7 months. And there's a real bright star in this part of the sky. It's about four fists above the sunset point, well to the upper right of Venus. It's called Arcturus. It's a big, fat, red giant star that's about 70 times the diameter of our sun. Now, you won't have to squint to find Jupiter. Just as the sun is setting in the west, Jupiter is rising in the east. In fact, the king of planets reaches a point called opposition, meaning it's directly opposite the sun in the sky, on September 21st. Now, early on, you'll have the same problem seeing Jupiter as you did finding Venus. Just after rising, it's so close to the horizon that you might not see it. But after an hour or two, say 9 o'clock, Jupiter should be high enough to see from most locations. And with each passing week, it'll be a little higher in the east as darkness falls. Once you spot Jupiter, believe me, you'll know it. Nothing in that part of the sky is even remotely as bright. It turns out that at this month's opposition, Jupiter is closer to Earth, barely so, than it's been at any time between 1963 and 2022. Wow! Okay, it's time for some stargazing. Lift your gaze up, way up, to find a bright star that's almost directly overhead. That's Vega. It's relatively close to us as stars go, just 25 light years away. When the gleam you're seeing right now left Vega, it was 1985. My, how time flies. Now slide your gaze past Vega, about 2.5 fists in the direction opposite Arcturus, to a second bright star called Deneb. Astronomers aren't sure of Deneb's exact distance. It's roughly 100 times farther away than Vega. But it's still quite the sparkler, isn't it? That's because Deneb is a real powerhouse of a star, pumping out at least 100,000 times more light than our sun does. Now look for a third bright star, Altair, that's about 3 fists to the south of Vega and 4 from Deneb. Week by week, this trio of easy-to-spot stars, known collectively as the Summer Triangle, is gradually migrating westward in the sky. It'll stay with us for a few more months before sinking out of sight in the west. In early September, the moon will be absent from the evening sky, and if you're lucky enough to live in a really dark location, far from city lights, you'll have no trouble seeing a delicately glowing river of light that we call the Milky Way, vaulting high across the sky. That's the combined light of countless stars in our galaxy's midsection. But chances are you're not so lucky. Sadly, light pollution has robbed most of us of the chance to see the Milky Way at all. As it turns out, some of its richest concentrations of stars are in the vicinity of Deneb. Can you see a faint glow up there? If you're not sure, try again closer to midnight, when many lights have been shut off and Deneb itself is almost overhead. Let's finish our trek on the northeast side of the sky. Follow an imaginary line drawn from Altair through Deneb and beyond. Here the Milky Way descends down past the dim constellation Cepheus, who's the legendary king of Ethiopia, to Cassiopeia, his mythical wife and queen. Cassiopeia is the much brighter and easier to find celestial landmark. Its five bright stars form a squashed W that's pointing toward upper left. Like all the constellations on the eastern side of the sky, Cassiopeia rises higher during the night and during the coming weeks and months. Now, you probably know September as the month with an equinox, when summer officially gives way to fall, at least for those of us here in the Northern Hemisphere. This year, the autumnal equinox comes on September 22nd at 11:09 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And here's a tip. On either the spring or fall equinox, the sun rises due east and sets due west, no matter where you live. That same evening, Jupiter and the moon will be near each other in the sky. Unseen, but lurking just a fingertip away from Jupiter, is the planet Uranus. Wow, is this a cosmic coincidence or some preordained planet fest? No, it's just an example of the clockwork motions of our solar system at work. If you want more sky watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll spend more time with Cassiopeia and find out why she's so vain. Until then, I wish you clear skies.